Welcome to Alive Experience, the online teaching ministry of Pastor Pascal Ngwe. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal teaches the Word of God with accuracy and power, always leaving his audience empowered, challenged, and ready for change. As you listen, get ready to be blessed by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's join the message already in progress.
Well, we are starting a new series this morning entitled Serious Distancing. We've learned that part of defeating this virus was we needed to social distance. And you know, I was sharing with my lovely wife who led worship here this morning, and I told her, if we were following God's word the way we are following the president's instruction and all this, you know, the way people just, the moment they hear, hey, level four, level three, they are just, you know, if we could follow the word of God like that, there will not even be any levels at all to deal with. If we, just see how we follow the word of a man, and I love our president, he's doing his best. Actually, clap for our president, he's trying his best. You see, but my question is, do we fear God's word equally? Do we follow God's instructions the same way? So another series is coming this month. Remember, we are into life and godliness. 6 months of light, life, and 6 months of godliness. So we are back into godliness now. We are coming from a powerful series entitled The Power of Diligence. Like I said, you might not fully understand the value of that series today. But as you go along your life, you will find a time when you will need to listen. And I'm glad that our major department is working hard now to document all those teachings. So that maybe you might not need it now, but soon you will need it. Then you can just tap into it and listen to it again. And understand that without diligence, not much will come out of your life. No matter how much God has blessed you. That is what I have discovered. And no matter how blessed a man is, if he is lazy, he has no future. Because God blesses the works of your hands. The works of your hands. And when your hands refuse to work, the blessing has nothing to work on. So I pray that you will get on the work. Amen. But you see, if you go out and start working, you will soon realize that it takes more than just work to make it, like I always say. That's why a Christian that understands his place and his identity has a great advantage over others. Because you have an inside information into the realities of the Spirit. You know other things that make things work, that the common man does not know about, or the common man does not value. The common man values social distancing, but the common man does not value other distancing. This month, we want to address other distancing. You see, the government of South Africa realized that to avoid this virus, one of the things you should do, you should stay away. You should stay away from people you suspect, or just people generally. If you go to a marketplace, you cannot ask everybody, did you sanitize this morning? Did you wash your hands? Is the mask, you know, you don't have to ask those questions. You just do one thing. You stay away. You social distance. And they believe if you stay like 1.5 meter from a person, the virus will not have enough capacity to jump that 1.5 meter and reach where you are. They believe that that little distance of 1.5 meter can save your life. That little distancing yourself from a person you don't know whether they carry the virus or not can save your life, can keep you alive. A And I'm asking myself, if we could equally distance ourselves from certain things in our lives, where would we be today? Yes, we should practice social distancing. But there are other distancing we should equally practice. And I don't think that we are not practicing them. Hence the series say serious distancing. Because I know we've been distancing ourselves, but it's not serious enough. Are you listening to me? So we are not just distancing, we are seriously distancing. So if the government talk about 1.5 meter, we're now should be like 115 meters or 1,500 meters away from the thing. That is, now you are talking serious distancing. That's just 1.5 meter. A lot of things can happen between 1.5 meter. Are you listening to me? So we're talking about serious distancing. A lot of believers are not seeing the best of God because certain things God says separate yourself from, distance yourself from. They are not distancing themselves from those things. And even when they are distancing themselves, they are not doing it seriously. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they are distancing themselves, but they are still around the thing. The distance is there, but it's not serious enough to spare their lives. I want to start my talk by taking you to Genesis chapter 13, verse 12. The Bible says, Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent near Sodom. Listen carefully. Lot did not enter Sodom, but he pitched his tent near Sodom. Now, you ask yourself, why did he pitch his tent near Sodom, not in Sodom? I think already he knew something was wrong with Sodom. Because if he didn't know something, he was going to be in Sodom. But he went and pitched the tent near Sodom. By the time the angels come to get him out of Sodom, he's no more near Sodom, he's in Sodom. So, you see, Abraham lived in Canaan, an area totally different from Sodom. So you never associate Abraham and Sodom. There's no connection between those two. Why? Because Abraham seriously distanced himself. I don't know whether you've ever heard politicians making a statement, we are distancing ourselves from that statement. That another person makes a statement and these people are not saying, we are distancing. They are saying that we have no connection so ever with that statement that was made. We are distancing ourselves from this way of view, or from this point of view. We are distancing ourselves from this statement. It's about time a child of God that you are and that I am, in this lockdown where we are taught to social distance, it's time we start seriously distancing ourselves. Seriously distancing ourselves. Like people should not make a mistake anymore. That people should not be wondering again, where are you not like what is? No. It should be clear. Abraham was in Canaan and Sodom was on the other side. But Lot pitched his tent near. And the whole problems of Lot came from that little near Sodom. By the time the angels came, he was at the city gate. He lost the wife, lost the children, lost everything by being near something he was supposed to socially distance from and seriously distance from. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the areas where believers are totally, continuously destroyed on a daily basis. We distance ourselves, but not far enough. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. The New American Standard Version says, do not give the devil an opportunity. Do you understand where this series is going? Do not give the devil an opportunity. Do not give the devil a place. He will use it to your greatest amazement. When it's time to break it and make it unusable. Serious distancing. Not casual distancing. And you are cajoling around the problem. You are playing near Sodom. You are moving near Sodom. You are making your plans near Sodom. I have come to discover that those of us that are not seriously distancing ourselves, our main problem is that we have two opinions. Do you understand? We have an opinion about what God says, but we also have an opinion about the thing itself. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Make a decision. You are wavering between two opinions. That's why you are not seriously distancing yourself. Because you see, to seriously distance yourself, you have to become radical about what you are standing for. But when you are always near Sodom, near the matter, it's because you are wavering between two opinions. And the Bible says, but the people said nothing. You know why the people said nothing? Because they were not sure if God is the Lord or if God. Like they are still trying to decide. Lot is still trying to decide. Is Sodom as bad as people say? I think I need to go and check for myself. I mean, I need to give them a chance. I need to allow things to unfold by themselves. I can't just not decide. I mean, am I God to judge? Who am I to judge? So I need to allow things to move first. That is where the serious distancing is not happening. Because as I'm here, I'm having other thoughts of the same matter. I'm one leg in, one leg out. I'm neither hot, I'm neither cold. I'm in between. That's why I can't seriously distance. That's why you can't really know what I'm standing for. You can't really know who I am. Because this particular matter, I have other thoughts about that matter. I have other thoughts. This is what has led to many believers today being caught up in two loves. The love of Jesus and the love of a boyfriend. The love of Jesus and the love of a girlfriend. They are caught up there in those two things. They love Jesus and they know what Jesus wants, but they are also caught up in this other thing. And they do not know what to do there. They are distancing, but they are not distancing seriously. So this month is God for Sundays. Every Sunday, I'm going to deal with one thing you should seriously distance yourself from. This morning, for the time I have, let me give you the first one. Seriously distance yourself from sin. My brothers and my sisters, sin is nothing to joke with. Sin is not, you see, the less we even talk about this matter, people think that these things are jokes. It's like we think that we are just here to have fun. We will see people distancing themselves from a virus, but embracing sin. I wish we could equally social and seriously distance ourselves from sin. The way we are social distancing and wearing the mask and all these things we are doing, which are very important, and I'm, if you heard me when I started, I am an advocate. I'm advocate. We should do it. But as a child of God, as somebody who is serious about his future. What is your stand when it comes to sin? I want to read the word of God this morning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 to verse 9. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I think it best explains what I want to say. It says, and you know that Jesus came to take away our sins. That's what Jesus came. Jesus came to take away our sins. And there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. Allow me to read it again. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. You see, this is where the deception is coming from. People are going to tell you, no, you know, this and this and this. Don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous. In other words, what you are is revealed by what you do. If you are righteous, you will do what is right. If you are righteous, you cannot say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but your actions are unrighteous actions continuously. Like as a practice. Even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on, you see, I want to say that they keep on path. You see, they keep on path. It's not like you are just stumbling into something today, but it's a habit you have developed. You see, it's a practice that when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. That is a very strong statement. Mante prezeke paloma la kacha palamada. When people keep on sinning, like it's they continuously do it, it shows they belong to the devil. Who has been sinning? I mean, he's been the Bible said from the beginning he hasn't stopped. Do you understand that? That's his nature. He keeps sinning. But the Son of God came to destroy the devil's work. Hallelujah. So if Jesus is in your life, the devil's work must be brought under judgment. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. God's life, the Zoe life, the eternal life, the life of the Spirit, the living Spirit is in them. So they can't keep on sinning. You see, I'm talking about the keeping on. They can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. Seriously distancing yourself from sin, because it's a false identification of who you are claiming and I am claiming to be. If I continue entertaining a life of sin, two things are here. Either I don't know Jesus or I belong to the devil. That is the Bible. I read the verse twice to you. If you know Jesus really, you have surrendered your life to Jesus truly, sinning cannot continue being a practice. I'm not saying you will not sin there and there. You will stumble into it, but you will not enjoy, like you will not practice it. When you are practicing something, I mean, this is what I'm doing today. And I've decided I'm going to do it today. And it's okay. I will do it. I will continue going to church. I will not change this area of my life. Even though I know the Bible says 1, 2, 3 things there. But no, you know, I'm not really interested in that. I believe that God loves all of us. So you are not seriously distancing yourself from that life of sin. You have found a way to entertain it in the midst of everything else that you are doing. Am I talking to the right people this morning? Brothers and sisters, you see, the reason why I'm starting here, or the Holy Spirit is starting with us here, is because you will be surprised at the devastation that sin is bringing in our lives every day. And nobody even has the guts to ask, are you in sin? Nobody can ask you that question. Because we see you at church, you are serving God. And it's not even an option to ask you such a question. And yet it's a question that somebody should ask. Are you in sin? Are you in sin? The way things are going, are you okay? Is everything okay between you and God? Why? Because you see, the Bible cannot be broken. What God says once, he meant it that one time, and he's still meaning it today. I want to show you some serious devastations that sin brings in our lives. Number one, sin affects your relationship with God. Make no mistake about that. If you are honest yourself, you will know that the moment sin enters your life, do you understand? The first thing you want to do is what Adam and Eve did. You want to hide from God. That's how it starts. Nobody needed to teach Adam and Eve what to do. They didn't have a master to teach them that, you see, after what you've done, you should not go to God. No, they automatically knew something has broken. And that's what sin does. Why do you think Satan wants to make you sin? Why do you think he enjoys tempting you? What do you think that really is about you having pleasure? No. He understands the mechanics that are behind the disobedience. He understands them. Genesis 3, 9 to 10. Then the Lord God called Adam and said, where are you? That is the question God started asking. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? That is the question angels start asking. That is the question everybody start asking the moment sin is at work. Where is she? Where is she? Where is he? It is not only God who asks that question. Your pastor start asking that question. Your fellow members of the choir or wherever you used to go to, where you used to enjoy, people start asking, where is she? Where are you? What's happening? Something gets affected immediately. And he says, I heard your voice and I was afraid. See, those things, they are all the results. Nobody, God had never beat him before. All of a sudden, he's afraid of God. You'll be surprised. The people that start being afraid of the same church, it's the same church that welcomed them before. The same pastor today, when they see him going to the left, they'll go to the right. It's the same pastor that was helping them before. But the moment sin enters, sin makes them to be afraid of the very thing that has the capacity of helping them. So they start dodging church. You start dodging your pastor. You start dodging your leaders. You start living a secret life. That is the hiding behind trees. You start living a life of lie. A double life. It's all the mechanism of sin that has been activated in you. Your relationship with your fellow brother gets affected. That's clear. The moment sin sat at the door of Cain, the next thing, he kills his brother. And God told him, sin is at your door. At your door. He did nothing about it. The next thing he told his brother, let's go on the field. He killed his brother. Once a person allows sin in, sin affects your relationship with God. Sin affects your relationship with your fellow brother in the church. You don't have a good relationship anymore. You start feeling people are spying on you. You start feeling people are too argumentative and too judgmental of you. You start having a certain attitude that you were not having before. You are beginning to change. But actually, sin is changing you. That's what is going on. Number three, sin affects your prayer life. You see, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. I mean, if you are honest with yourself, you will agree with me. That boldly part, once sin enters, the first thing it attacks is that boldly part. It is not you coming, it's the boldness. The boldness is the one that gets affected. And the Bible says, you see, your confidence will be rewarded. So Satan attacks your boldness, your confidence. He makes you to come, but you don't have any boldness to raise your hands. You don't have any confidence to speak to your father. He attacks that. He attacks that. Because he understands your power comes in you knowing truly who you are. Your boldness in God. That's how sin attacks it. Number four, sin opens the door to Satan and demons into your life. That's why when you start involving yourself into a sinful life, demonic activity starts increasing in your life. Oh, yes. Jesus says, there comes the prince of this world. He has nothing in me. Why? Because before Satan can land somewhere, he must have a landing spot there. When Satan has something of his in you, he will land. He will land. And sin opens those landing spots. The access into a house is either through a door or through a window. So sometimes, maybe the door is shut, but the windows are open. And because the windows are open, the person has access. The Bible talks of Babylon in the book of Revelation chapter 18, verse 2 and 3. The Bible says, and he gave a mighty shout, Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen. You see, a great man is fallen. A great woman is fallen. A great destiny is fallen. A great business is fallen. I'm sure you heard the news a couple of weeks ago. That Bill Gates resigned as the CEO of Microsoft. Do you know why? Simple. A little affair with a small little girl inside the office led to him divorcing his wife, led to him forfeiting his right as a CEO of one of the greatest corporations in the whole world. And the girl that is behind the whole scandal, she has no name. You don't know her. Nobody knows her. And that is how great people fall. It's usually something simple that it looks like it's something, it's nothing. But you know, you are not seriously distancing yourself from that thing. And as you are not seriously distancing yourself from that thing that looks like it's nothing, it ends up becoming the reason why the great end on the floor. What could have happened in this life if Eve seriously distanced herself from a tree God told her, do not get close to that tree? What could have happened to this world? But she got closer and closer and closer. Instead of seriously distancing herself from something she already knew, it's a danger. It's a danger. I'm sure if you check even the directors of Microsoft, that girl had no place. You see, you find out that she's just a small typer somewhere. But that small typer somewhere has the capacity of taking the great to the floor. Your only chance, seriously, bring some seriousness in that distancing. Can I talk to you this morning? Please, I know you are considering distancing, but you need to not do it seriously.
The Bible says she has become a home for demons. A home for demons. That's what she has become. She is a hideout for every foul spirit. A hideout for every foul vulture. And every foul and dreadful animal. For all the nations have fallen because of the wine of her compassionate, of her passionate immorality. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her. So that's why the Bible always says, especially the sin of fornication and adultery, that sin is a serious door for demonic activity. Because those are gates. You are using gates for manipulations. We'll talk about it sometime during this series. Amen. Number five, sin affects your church attendance. Make no mistake. Let me tell you something. A lot of people that have already been dominated by sin are enjoying this level 4 regulation that have arrived. I'm telling you, they are not missing anything. They are so excited. Finally, nobody will come and drag me again to that funny thing. Nobody will come again and start pulling me. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go. When a person is under the influence of sin, they are not glad at all. When you are there saying, let us go. No, look. It's just that they were glad before, and you still have that image of them being glad before. You are not aware that they are no more glad when you are bringing those your things. And the bottom line is sin has entered. These are the works of sin. When you see a member that is no more excited about the presence of God, a member that doesn't miss church, I'm telling you something is wrong with that member. And one of the things that have gotten wrong with that member is sin has entered in that member's life. Because the Bible is very clear how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How come you don't like unity anymore? How come you don't enjoy? How come you don't miss us anymore? In fact, you are very happy. You have shared this thing I have posted on Facebook that we are now online. You have shared it more than 15 times. Just you are sharing that. Yeah, please. You are sharing with your shepherd. Tell, please, did you see what Pastor wrote there? Please. I need peace now. Sin, number six. Sin affects your tithing and your offering. One of the major things that get affected when somebody is living in sin is that they stop tithing. Why? Because you see, tithing is a covenant between you and God. So once sin enters your heart, sin is designed to resist anything that represents God. And you feel very surprised. In fact, first of all, sin is very costly. So the money is needed for other things. Do you get it? So you don't have it even. You don't have it. Because any sin that you entertain, you have to maintain. Any sin you entertain, you have to maintain. And to maintain it, you need to sustain it with something. And it's the money that is needed. So if you are paying your tithe, sin is saying, no, you need to maintain this drinking habit that I'm giving you now. And I'm going to need that your money, that tithe money has to come here to help us here. You see this new girl that I brought for you, you need to take care of her. You see this new boyfriend, you need to buy him airtime. You need to do a lot of things for this guy. You need to look good for him. So you cannot tithe. You can't. You don't have money. It affects your tithing. Sin affects your ministry. Never make a mistake. That's why Satan's work without a day off to ensure a minister, a child of God, is living in sin. Why? Because the moment you get into sin, you open the door for him. He can start attacking. He can start breaking. But you shall never be broken in the name of Jesus. Your ministry shall never fall to the ground in the name of Jesus. Hebrews 1 verse 9, the Bible says, you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Why? Because you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Other version says, and hated lawlessness. The King James Version says, and hated iniquity. Show me a shepherd who just enjoys sin all the time. That shepherd will never be anointed. God cannot anoint a shepherd that is always into sin, always into sin. A pastor who, like, he practices sin. Two things are happening here. Either God anointed you before, and then you fell. Do you understand? And God cannot take back the anointing. Then it will just destroy you. But if you are not anointed yet, forget it. It will never happen. Eight. Sin affects the love of God in your heart and the love of the things of God. The moment sin starts working in your heart, first of all, you stop loving God the way you used to love God. Number two, you stop loving the things of God the way you used to love them. That is the work of sin. Number nine, sin hardens your heart towards God and the word of God. You become hard. When the word of God is preached, it actually irritates you. It does not excite you anymore. In fact, even the preaching of this morning can be irritating somebody now. I don't know. Please forgive me. Number 10, sin makes you rebellious and argumentative towards the word of God. You become rebellious. You start having your own thoughts as the pastor is preaching. You start having your own arguments. Yeah, but the other book says this. Yeah, but I read the book of Confucius. He was also saying something a bit different compared to this one. Now, what about the Quran? You know, you start having all kinds of things. How can the Bible be the only book? I mean, let's think, guys. Let's think, guys. Every other thing comes with many books. How come the Bible? I mean, at least you are right. It has 66 of them. It's not one, but 66 of them. And they're all saying the same thing. 11. Sin makes you hate your pastor, your leader, your shepherd, and your brother and your sister. Sin will make you hate me. Meanwhile, I've never done anything wrong to you. You start hating your pastor's wife. You start hating your shepherd. People that love you and care for you. But because you refuse to seriously distance from something the Bible says you should distance from, now you are hating the people that have the capacity to help you. 12 and last, sin ultimately destroys you. It kills you. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Whether you are born again or not born again, the wage will never change. Do you understand me? There is the same price. That's why I'm saying the devastation that I see in the life of many believers is not always credited to the devil as they are claiming it to be. Many a times, there are things they did not seriously distance themselves from. Many things they are doing in secret and publicly, they are making it look like everything is. And some they are doing in public. I mean, it's not something they are even hiding because they have their own mind about it. Nobody can tell them nothing. How does sin destroy you? James explains it very vividly. He says, when tempted, say with me, temptation. That is how sin starts. Sin never starts with sin. No. And death never starts there. It's the first step. Temptation. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and they are enticed. Every temptation you are facing is a report card to you of something that is in you. Amen. It's telling you that thing you are following, that thing you are desiring, a seed of it is inside you. Oh, yes. And I say, yeah, Pastor, how come? I know you look very dignified. I know. I'm aware. I'm aware you look very pure. Well, yes, true. But as pure as you look, You see, when that temptation is coming, it is telling you, I'm inside you. Then, after desire has conceived, so desire can be pregnant. Desire has a womb. May you never throw a seed in that womb. Make sure every seed that goes there is a seed of death. To just sterilize that womb, that womb will never give birth to nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Desire has a womb, and desire can conceive. That's why desires are powerful. Desires took man to the moon. It gave birth. Never joke with desires. Desires are spiritual things. They conceive. When you see somebody killing a person, it's not just, no. There is a desire that was given conception. And the thing started moving, then it gave birth. And the child of desire is called sin. The Bible says it gave birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, so sin also grows. Now, listen, there is a picture I want you to watch that picture on the screen right now. You see that picture? That picture is explaining to you your process. You first feed the sin. And when you are feeding the sin is so simple and so, it like, you see that small cat? It's a small little cap, lion cap, and you are feeding it milk. It is so innocent. It is so nice. But that little lion cap is growing. You see the picture on your left? The little lion cap has become a big lion. And now, the big lion is now feeding you, on you. So instead of the baby bottle being in the mouth of the baby cap, the little lion cap, it is your head that is inside the mouth of the lion. When sin has grown. Check the picture carefully. It's on your screen. Check it. When it is fully grown, it gives birth. So sin also conceives. And the child of sin is called death. It's called death. Please don't miss this series. Allow God to help you. Allow God to help you. We need to seriously distance ourselves. We are playing around fire and we are wondering why we are burning. We are playing around fire and we are wondering why we are so hot. Yet we know exactly what we are doing. We know exactly what we are doing. We know exactly what we are doing. Especially now that we are no more going to even meet. Meaning somebody can't even check you again. It's going to be worse. If God doesn't help us. Because you see, level 4 means you can still move around. But you can't just gather. So nobody will follow you where you are going. Yet you can't gather. We can't see you. But you can gather in other places. So God is sending this message to say, seriously distance yourself. It's not for somebody's good. It's for your own good. It's not for somebody's blessing. It's for your own blessing. It's for your own lifting. Hallelujah. Paul had his own struggle against sin, which I'm sure you are also having. Paul says in Romans 7 verse 15, he says, I don't really understand myself. Because what I want to do is what is right. But I don't do it. Instead, I do what I don't want to do. He cried, who will deliver me from this? Who will help me? I don't want to do this thing, but that's the same thing I keep doing every night. I'm trying to seriously distance myself, Lord, but I don't understand how I always end up on the same spot. That's Paul speaking. But the same Paul is giving us hope. In 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Because when Satan wants to take you on the journey to death, he starts by saying, this is unique. What you are going through, no other. If people, you know, people will never even understand you. They don't understand your background. They don't understand your story. They don't understand where you are coming from. If they understood you, they will understand what you are going through right now. You see, they will judge you, but they don't understand you. They don't understand what you have suffered.
He has started a journey to tell you that you are unique. Your case is different. Nobody will understand what you are going through. So people will not relate with you. No. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. Please say it. God is faithful. Say it again. God is faithful.
He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. So whenever a temptation is within your vicinity, just raise your hands and say, Lord, I thank you that the strength needed was already measured. And you knew that if you send something beyond me, don't blame me. But if you have allowed this, it means you know within me there is a capacity to handle this. You can never allow me to be tempted above what I can bear. If you have allowed this, it means there is in me the capacity to bear it. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure the temptation. A way out. But I'm sure you realize this morning that people are not interested in that way out because they have two opinions about the matter anyway. A person that is interested in the way out is a person that is really desiring to seriously distance himself from the thing. When you are not interested in the way out, you see, I don't even know why the Bible is against this thing. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong. I don't even see where the problem is. That's how your mind starts working. Your mind starts interpreting things its own way. Therefore, you can't see the way out, even if it's there. In fact, you will not go with it. You will not go for it. Because you want to stay near Sodom a little bit. To taste what's happening. Four ways out that God can give you. Number one, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That is the first way. And Paul says, who will deliver me from this wretched body? Praise be to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the authorized channel to breaking the grip of sin over your life. The name Jesus means Savior. The Bible says the angel told Mary, you shall give his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. The very name of Jesus, Jesus is the only professional person that has the capacity to save you from your sins. No other way. Why do you call him Savior? Savior from what? Your sins. That's why he's here. I see people calling him Savior still in their sins. Galatians chapter 5 verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passion and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and have crucified them there. Belonging to Jesus is not just to sing songs. Actually, it means sin has lost its power. Let me give you another one. Romans 6:6. The Bible says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. What does that mean? When you give your life to Jesus, sin stops having power. Let me explain. It doesn't mean that sin will not come and push you to do things. No. It means from the moment you give your life to Jesus, listen carefully, you have the possibility of making a decision. When you are not born again, you have no decision to make. You are Satan's slave. You do anything he says. You don't even have a choice. Hence, you will see a man raping his daughter. You will see a woman killing her son. Because when you are not born again, Satan has the full right over your mind. But the moment you honestly and sincerely give your life to Jesus, Satan loses that right. And from that moment, if you are well trained, If you are well developed, that's what the Bible talks about, renewing your mind. When you are well trained from that moment, Satan stops having that type of right and power over you. So you now have a choice. You can decide. You can say no. The Bible says that the grace teaches us to say no. You can say no. You see, it's just that you haven't known. You see, Satan has convinced you that that thing you can never resist. It's actually another deception. Satan will deceive you into thinking you can never resist this sin. You can never say no to this. He does that to actually alienate any form of resistance you could bring to him. But you are learning now. You can say no. First of all, by just giving your life to Jesus, Satan loses a lot of rights over you. You must never forget that. He cannot make you do anything he wants. Don't believe that lie that Satan can make you do things. He does not have that power. If Satan had that power, how come he hasn't made you sleep with women from the moment you gave your life until now? You know what? He doesn't have that power. He's trying to convince you that he has it, but he doesn't have it. He doesn't have power over you. He doesn't. All you need is to renew your mind with this teaching I'm giving you now. That Satan has no power over me. My life is hidden in Christ, in God through Christ. How come Satan bypassed God? He bypassed Christ and he finds me inside God in Christ. And then he makes me do things. From where? From where? It's your mind that is not trained yet. That's all. That's why the second tool, that God, the second way, you see, the first way is Jesus himself. He is the way. The second way is the word of God. The word of God. Through the word of God, God trains your mind. Through the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It is through that sword, as you are exposing yourself constantly to things, not just things you like, even things you are uncomfortable to hear. It's actually things you are uncomfortable hearing that help you. Those of us who only like hearing things that we like, you will never grow. You should submit yourself to certain teachings that are addressing your problems. Eh? Because that is the only time you are giving a chance to the sword to cut something. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, and joints and marrows, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God enters your heart and it cuts things. Certain thoughts Satan has manipulated in your mind and strongholds. You can never go to a psychologist and fix that problem. But as you expose your mind to podcasts, to teachings, to the word, to reading the word, I'm telling you, the sword will just come from nowhere one day and pew, the thing will end. Nobody will pray for you, but you just exposing yourself to the word, the sword of the Spirit, start cutting those spiritual things in your heart. May you be delivered in the name of Jesus. Amen. The word of God is water, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the word, the washing of water by the word. Sanctify them with your truth. Your word is the truth. You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. Demons are called unclean spirits. Why? Because when they enter you, they make you unclean. And when you are not clean, you need to be washed. Some of you make a mistake. When you feel unclean, you start praying, riba, baga, 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 riba. You know, you pray like that for 2 days. Nothing will change much. Because prayer does not wash. Prayer empowers. What washes is the word. The word is water. When one of those unclean spirits has found it, especially sexual sin in all its forms, every sexual sin is unclean. Every sexual sin is unclean. Thoughts, masturbation, anything that is sexual, those ones, they specialize in making you dirty. And they like making you dirty between Saturday and Sunday. Do you understand? So that you stand here on Sunday, you are so dirty. And you feel so dirty. and so ashamed.
When you fall in any of those traps, listen to this. Press play on your podcast. Put it on your ear.
Everything, and you will be saying, no, no, this is not the time. Just press play and force yourself to allow, just like a baby that is being dragged into a bathtub. Let your spirit be dragged into that bathtub, and the word of God will wash you clean.
Number three, as I close, engage the Holy Spirit. The Bible says when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Without the ministry of the Holy Ghost, you will never agree that that thing is a sin. You will continue explaining yourself. You will continue excusing yourself. Please allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take its course in your life. Let the Holy Ghost bring conviction. Maybe you've heard me preach about it, but you're still not convicted. You've continued. Allow them. You see, I want you to understand. The Holy Ghost is not just to make you speak in tongues. No, you do not understand him. He's there to sanctify you, to purify you. He's called Holy Spirit. How can a Holy Spirit be in you and you're always unholy? How? Except if you are not cooperating with him and allow him to help you. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's the master key. Follow the Spirit. The New Living Translation says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. That's the key. Submit to the Holy Ghost. And start following his instructions, not your flesh. And don't wait when you're already in front of the temptation to listen to him. You never hear him. It will be too late. In fact, the fact that you're in front of the temptation, it means that you didn't listen to him. That's why you are not there. Do you understand? So you need to always start with simple instruction. When you are very far from the temptation, he will be saying to you, pray. Instead of watching TV, just obey that small instruction. You are strengthening his voice in you. Like there's no temptation, but he's not speaking. Start there, far from the thing. He will say to you, don't talk, and you don't talk. You are strengthening his presence in your life. You are strengthening his voice in your spirit. So one day you'll be in front of the temptation, he will say, relax. And you just relax, and nothing will happen at all. Nothing. But those things, When you are away, he says, you don't do. When you are down for it, they say, riba shakaba. That riba shakaba, you will be saying riba shakaba, watching the pornography. God forbid. Lastly, engage accountability. Engage accountability. He who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Proverbs 28 verse 13. Accountability. The power of every sin lies in its secrecy. As long as you are hiding it, it grows in power. The day you expose it, it deflates like a balloon. That's why people who entertain sin are usually liars. You see, the moment it moved from to Cain, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Arguments. At least Adam said, I heard your voice, I hid myself. Like, at that time, sin was not yet strong. You understand? Like it was just starting. So he could speak the truth. I hid myself. By the time it moved to Cain, argument started. Where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? I mean, just because I go around with him now, am I supposed to now report everything about his life? By the time we move beyond that, God has to destroy the whole world. So, sinners are usually liars. Don't speak the truth. We don't say things the way they are. Last verse for the day, James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins. Sins must be confessed.
Sins must be confessed. I repeat it. They must be confessed. When you leave them unconfessed, you are covering them. And they have a funny way of uncovering themselves at the wrong time. At the wrong time. Confess them quickly. Let go of them. You might feel a little shame there, but it's nothing compared to the big shame waiting for you in the future. When the thing now is taking over the whole thing, it will destroy anything you are trying to build. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You see, that is what he's saying there. When there are sins, take them to somebody, either the person to whom you have sinned against or a person you trust that is a leader to you. Go there and say, look, this is what is going on. This is what I'm struggling with. You'll be surprised how your strength is going to be multiplied. Because after you confess, the person will pray for you. And then the Bible promises that you will be healed. What is that healing? That thing will lose its grip over your life. But believers go around with unconfessed sins for years. Believers are living in all kinds of addictions and sexual sins and all kinds of immorality, all kinds of pride and all kinds of anger and unforgiveness, all kinds of things. And we wonder why there's so much destruction. Jesus came to die for our sins. He took them away. We have a responsibility to stay away from something that cost him so much. Look at my last picture for you. That is your Jesus on the cross. And do you see him? Do you know what made him like this? It's your sin and my sin. Look at how disfigured he became. That is what sin does when it's working in somebody's life. So Jesus took all that for you and me. Not that after he had taken the price, we now continue just doing it for free. No. I told you the wages of sin will always be death. Either spiritual, financial, social, or even physical. Every time sin is at work, it will bring death. So you must confess it. Claim the blood of Jesus. Ask the blood of Jesus to cleanse you if you are finding anything in your life that's not right. But the best way is to seriously distance yourself from anything that can lead you to sin. If you have a friend that always leads you to gossip, distance yourself from such a person. You have apps on your phone that are constantly taking you to sin. Delete them from your phone. The Bible says that if your hand is leading you to sin, cut it off. It's better to go to heaven with one hand than to go to hell with two hands. That's the Bible. That's the radicality of the Bible. And I'm not saying you should now go and start cutting fingers, start cutting. No. I'm just telling you that you must be radical. Stop playing around Sodom like Lot. It will destroy sooner or later. This message is for myself, it's for you, it's for all of us. As we enter back this lockdown, there'll be less control. Please, as you are socially distancing yourself from people that you are suspected to have corona, please, seriously distance yourself from anything that has the mark of leading you to sin, because sin will destroy your life. Shall we pray this morning? I want everybody to stand on your feet, wherever you are. And I want you to just ask the Lord right now to have mercy on you. The Bible says, if they confess the sin and forsake them, he will have mercy on them. We need mercy. Right now, many of us need mercy. Just talk to God wherever you are this morning. Lord, I need your mercy. Lord, I need your grace. I'm standing here today. In fact, this word is showing me that is your mercy that has helped me this far. Because honestly, I haven't been seriously distancing myself. I drew closer and closer and closer and closer to things I should be staying further and further and further away from. I have allowed myself to change my mind about things that you said clearly, and I know what you said, but I didn't believe that you really said what you said. I interpreted it my own way, using my own Bible version. Father, give me grace this morning to seriously distance myself. To seriously distance myself. Seriously distance myself. I'm asking for that grace. I'm asking for that grace to seriously distance myself, to start this war. I know that you have forgiven all my sins. I know you have washed all my sins away. But that does not give me a license to just continue living a sinful life. Because your word told us this morning, anybody born of God cannot practice sin. It's not right. It's not right. Give us grace, Father. Help us by your mighty Holy Spirit to seriously distance ourselves from anything that will affect our relationship with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us this month. As we have separated ourselves from the first half of the year, Father, let us also separate ourselves from anything that belongs to the other side of the year. As we are entering the second side of the year, the second cycle, let anything that could be an offense before you remain on the other side this morning. As we are crossing this Red Sea this morning, let every Egyptian be drowned in the water. As we're going to be partaking of the communion right now, let every Egyptian, let every worldly spirit, anything that is trying to follow us to the promised land, to trying to stop us from reaching the best that you have for us, Father, let those things drown in the Red Sea this morning. Let them drown in the water this morning. Matuka pele mante kara vele chakapada. Prentele kanto sapre kalabamba. Lord, that I will dissociate myself and seriously distance myself from any form of flirting, anything that looks like sin. Let me dissociate completely from it. Makole mande pralaveda. Enteske pre kanto kole mande vrande. Pray this morning and ask mercy from above. This is an opportunity to get your life right with God. This is an opportunity. The word has come again to help you get your life on track. Mantelebre sante prelegado brande. Encelove e precasove. Prentele brandes. Brente socolama. Eyabalagadabadabagadaba. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Father, thank you for your word. Where could we be? What would we do without your word? It is indeed the light and the lamp that help us know which step to take. Thank you for being so faithful and always sending the right word through this altar to us. Father, may we not just be hearers, but turn us into doers. Because this again is another doing series. Seriously distancing ourselves, deleting what must be deleted, cutting what must be cut, rearranging what must be rearranged, sanitizing what must be sanitized. Oh Jesus, help us. Help your children. Many people in this church are young people, at the prime of their lives, where their passions are raging like fire. Lord, your word says, how can a young man keep himself pure? And David answered the question and says, I hate your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. But we are young and there's a lot of things that we want to do. We want to experiment. Give us grace. Give us wisdom. Give us the power to subdue our bodies. Do not appear to have subdued them in the public. Meanwhile, in secret, they have subdued us. Give us grace. Give us grace. Lord, I pray for grace for everybody watching this morning. Help us seriously distance ourselves from sin.
in Jesus' name. And maybe you are watching this morning and, you know, you want to start your journey with Christ. I'm sorry we have taken a bit of time. We're almost at the end now. I want to help you this morning. You are not born again. You want to give your life to Jesus. You have heard that every sin is forgiven in Jesus. Every sin finds deliverance through Jesus Christ. My son sang here this morning, do not die without Jesus. Do not die without Jesus. The Lord Jesus told the Pharisees, you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am who I claim to be. You will die in your sins. You know, my brothers and my sisters, we will all die, but we will not all die in our sins. Do not die in your sins. Right now, I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior, because his blood was shed to wash away all sins. If you want to say yes to Jesus this morning, I'm going to count up to three. You can raise your right hand and I'll pray with you. 1, 2, 3. Please raise your right hand. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. Don't be ashamed. I know maybe you're in the house, it's a family setting, but this is not between you and God. Don't care much about daddy or mom. And this is between you and God right now. I want to give my love to Christ. God bless you. God bless all of you. Please take your hands down. Maybe you want to recommit your life to Christ today. You want him to come back into your life. You feel like you've fallen apart. It's okay. It's okay. Just like the prodigal son, you can come back home. At the count of three, raise your right hand and I'll pray with you. 1, 2, 3. Raise it up. God bless you. God bless you. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Now, please, mean every single word from the bottom of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for forgiving me, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Please drop us a comment in the comment section to tell us how this message has helped you. Remember also to subscribe to receive notifications on our latest sermons. You can also watch Pastor Pascal live every Sunday morning from 10 a.m. on our church Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ. Or you can worship with us live in one of our branches in Sun City, Macharora, Padima, Mukwase, Lidach, Rustenburg, and beyond. Have a blessed day, and remember, we are alive to give life.